is for a congregational member. And when I say congregational member, it doesn't mean you sign up for the membership role. And there's a lot of churches that do that, and there's some great things, okay? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that it means when you are a member of a congregation, you are active. Everybody say active. Yes, you're active and you are a part of a local body. Now, I didn't write this. I found this in that book. Hey. Okay. Gee whiz. Gosh. Say, I love you, Pastor D. Okay. I just get distracted. You know, if they had to diagnose me, I think I might have a file folder with some letters on it. So, okay. So anyway, okay. So, being a part of a church body means you're a part of, you're a member, you're a congregational member, and the Word of God says that you come to be active, to flourish, and everybody takes part in this. And we talked about last week, and Paul uses lots of examples in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. He talks about church as a body, like a head, arms, legs, feet. So we're a body, and the parts, I was sitting here thinking, if I chop this arm off and throw it over there, it's no longer a part of this body. Okay? And I can get along a little bit, but not terrific. So God talks about us being all together a part of a body. So that was week one. We're on week two. And if you missed week one, hey, right in front of you is an envelope, and CDs are free. All right? So take advantage of that. And it was very interesting last week after sharing the message on that you are a vital part of a local body. You are a vital part, and God wants you to be active and flourishing. I had people throughout the week say, Pastor D, sign me up. I'm ready to do stuff. And, you know, of course, I'm doing the cha-cha-ha-ha dance. I love it. That was great. But you know what? It just doesn't make me happy. I'm more excited for you because when you are involved and you are active, it changes you. It changes you. It makes your life better. Smile. It does. It'll change your life for good. So, you know, and sometimes just sitting in a chair is not making you active. You know, they find out in hospitals and nursing homes, you lay out people in a bed for a couple of weeks, they're not active, it's hard to move, it's just, and it's not fun. That's why they're all in therapy, they want to get active again, okay? So, everybody should be active, and you shouldn't be saying, well, listen, I already been there and done it, all those young folks, those young guys over there, y'all need to be doing it because I'm done. And then, all the old ones are saying, hey, those new whippersnappers, they should be doing it, okay? No, no, no. It says everybody that should be a member in a local church should be active and flourishing because you are vital, all right? So today, that was last week. Today we're starting a new series, a small word that you probably don't like. It's called unity. United. Unity, united, all right? And we're going to talk about how important it is to be planted in a church, one, and to be in unity. Planted in a church and to be in unity. And the same way unity is absolutely important in a church, it's actually very important in your marriage, wouldn't you agree? It's very important in a business. You're a business owner. Isn't it very important to have people in unity with you? All right? In your family. Listen, I remember John Gagan, my dad. I'm one of six kids, and we weren't always sweet. And we're fussing and fighting, and my dad, it wasn't loud, but it was this deep thing would erupt. And he goes, united we stand, divided we fall. I couldn't say what he said. Stop messing around. But you knew when you got the first part, even my dad knew unity, okay, is vital in a home. Unity. And so some of the lessons we're going to talk about church, you being a part of a church, you can take this into your marriage. You can take it into your family. You can take it into your business, all right? And let me just say, you start applying unity into your marriage, you're going to have a much better home zone, right? Yeah. All right. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 3:7, you don't have to look there. I'm just going to give you the Cashman squish version. 1 Peter 3:7 is Peter, and he's talking to married couples about unity. And he says in 1 Peter 3, if they're in unity and they're united, their prayers will be answered. The flip side, and he gives you the flip side in case you couldn't figure it out, if you do not have unity, your prayers are hindered. Now, I can make a beeline real fast this way, but if I have to walk in and out, this is just hindering. My prayers getting answered. Okay, now, so I think your prayers will get answered, but let me tell you, bam, straight. So, unity in a marriage, wouldn't you agree? Much better, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, what happens, this is my question to you, what happens if in a church you have unity? Oh my, things are going to happen. Flip side, if you don't have unity in a church, things aren't going to happen. Okay? They're not going to happen the way God wants them to happen. Well, things will happen. Let me tell you, things start happening, but not the way God wants it. So today I want to talk about what happens if we are united, and what does it look like if people are united? And lastly, hey, should we be united? All right, those are gonna machine gun you. So if you're taking notes, because we found out you get 10 extra points when you hit heaven because you take notes. Yeah, also, it's proven. You take notes, you remember it. All right, so if your memory's sharper than a tack, keep it that way. All right, number one, unity is an adjustment you make on your part. Unity, write that down, is an adjustment you make. Now, back in the day when I had 4 little kids, 2 years apart, I'd make them do a whole bunch of things, such as Penny is squabbling with Dina, and somebody hits somebody and calls another in a bad name, because, you know, that sometimes happened. I would make them apologize. Dina, say you're sorry to Penny. Penny, say I forgive you. And now hug one another. Okay, this is what would happen. Okay, who's a hugger? Who's a hugger? Oh, Penny's the hugger. Okay. No. This is what happens when you make somebody hug.
Okay.
Now hug her. Yeah. Okay, that's what happens when you make. And my kids would stand there. Okay, I made them. I was teaching them Bible principles. But listen, you can't make, and I can't beat you over the head and preach 100 years on unity. It's an adjustment you make in your heart. Number one. Number two, all unity has to be based in love. The whole Bible, you know, I'm forever saying, oh my gosh, this Bible is so easy. It's all about love. Okay? Unity has to be based in love, all right? Unity has to be based in love. And when you unite behind God's love, now picture this. I actually saw this once. Here's Mama Duck. She's got all these little baby ducks. What are they, ducklings? Is that what they call them? Goslings, duckling, baby. Okay, and she goes, wah, wah, light up, wah, wah, wah. And they start following Mama Duck, all of them. It's just incredible. They just get in a line and follow, all right? We follow when we're behind love. It's so easy to follow when we're united in love. Wouldn't you agree? Okay, you got all these visuals stuck in your head, little duck, quack, 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 quack. Okay. Now, interesting, you look different than I do, yes? Some of you dress different than I do, yes? Some of you act your Jesus a whole lot different than I do. Yes? Yep, yep. All right. Now, some of you come way different families than I come from. Yep, yep. Matter of fact, all those differences, when I'm in united in love, who gives a darn? I was going to say something. Whoop. Who gives a flip? Okay, now, I'm going to give you an example. I love telling my laundry because you guys should be saying, man, I'm doing better than Pastor D. I was at a prayer meeting, it'll be a month ago, and it was an area prayer meeting, and it was in a rough section of York, and majority were black or Hispanic, so I stood out like a sore thumb. And there's one lady whose thumb was even bigger than mine. She was this redhead. And they asked us to get in a big circle and to hold hands, and we were going to pray for the city, and because we were going to be united praying for the city. Okay? So, and because I'm pastor, they go, Pastor D, would you say a prayer about such and such? I'm like, oh, yeah. All right, okay. So we go around. And then this lady over here, the other sore thumb with the red head, it's her turn to pray, and she whips out really loud, Yeshua HaMashiach, oh my God. And she starts doing this whole Jewish pronunciation thing. Okay, you were there. I forgot that. And I went, what? Are you kidding me? We're in Hispanic Black York. They don't know Yeshua HaMashiach. And I copped a disunity. And the Lord said, shut up. You're there, united in love. Now, none of you ever do any dumb things like that, right? You all just walk in love. Nah, 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 okay? But listen, we should put our differences, D. Cashman, down because we're united in love. We were united in love. I'm going laughing at myself. We were supposed to be united in love about Jesus, okay? And listen, the one thing we get to unite about, that's what the Lord reminded me. The one thing we're supposed to unite about is Jesus. So who cares if she bellows Yeshua HaMashiach? Everybody else was like, Jesus! Okay, that's the one thing that causes unity. Man, just keep it simple. Listen, I've been places where some sprinkle, some dunk. Some wear robes, some wear collars, some don't. Okay, and when it gets down to the real simplicity of it, we just keep our unity because of love, and that doesn't make any difference. Okay, it just always cracks me up. Turn over to John 13, please. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures here today. Pray for Pastor D. I'm being transformed. I still don't know what Yeshua HaMashiach means, but, you know, it sounded so... And it's a redhead. She didn't even look Jewish. It's really funny. I'm from the land of North Jersey. We know what Jews look like. Okay. She didn't look Jewish. That was just to crack me up. Okay. Seriously. John 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, verses 34, 35. I give you, this is Jesus, red letter, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I've loved you, so you too should love one another. And by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another, okay? Now, how does the world know we are disciples? Don't follow Pastor D to a prayer meeting. No. Love. All right? Okay? So, better yet, let me ask this. How do we prove that we're a disciple? Love one another. All right? So, love one another. Now, I'm telling you, we prove to the world when they walk in this place, this YCF place, we prove to them that we are united and we'll love anyone no matter what. Then you're talking Jesus, right? Then you're talking Jesus. People who look different. They dress different. Their hair is different. They smell different. We get to unity. We get to love when they walk in here. Matter of fact, We just go sit down right next to them. I'm not saying Penny smells any different or anything like that. Okay? All right? You know my biggest beef? It hurts my heart that we are a body, and I see people come in, and they sit by themselves. Dave, move over quick. Both of you guys get together. You won't look standing out here. Okay? It hurts my heart. And listen, we're supposed to be united in love. You didn't wear deodorant today. That's why. Okay, no problem. Don't worry about it. All right. Oh, praise God. Okay, so what are we supposed to be doing? Love. Really simple. Really simple. That's really the key to being united. You get this love going. Now, today I'm going to teach on what it means and what it looks like to be in unity. And I have to tell you, unity is actually vital if a church is healthy. I'm telling you, it's just vital if a church is healthy. And it's not like you stick a thermometer in, you say, oh, they're healthy. No, you watch their love, and it's vital, all right? Now, without unity, you can be doing a lot of things, but just maybe you're not where God wants you. We can do a lot of things, and we're not in unity. It's kind of crazy. That actually happens. But really what happens is we're not where we're supposed to be the way God wants us. So unity's really important. Now, how do you get unity? It's my way or the highway. Hit it. Okay? You can get unity, but you know what? Those that don't like you just hurt their, it's sad, they'll leave. Don't worry. You'll have unity. There'll be us three no more. All right? So obviously that's probably not the best way to get unity, right? Right? You've been saying that. Don't say that anymore. The best way is Jesus' way. Okay? And he really had an attitude. He had an attitude. He had a good attitude about unity. Matter of fact, he calls us a body. I mean, he's got it. So, let me ask this. Oh, turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. While I'm digging over there, let me say something. Jesus had an attitude of unity, and he wants us to be united because he wants us to do stuff. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I remember the first time somebody said this, ticked me off. I wanted to quit. Someone made this statement, and I could probably give you a zillion scriptures, but the statement went like this. God has done all that he's ever going to do when Jesus sat down. So he's waiting on us. We are his arms and legs. He's waiting on us. So he's waiting on us to get in unity. He's waiting on us to be united in love, okay? So that's a good attitude. Genesis chapter 11, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read out of here. This is what happens when you are and when you are not in unity. Now, starting in Genesis 1, God created Adam. God created a man, let's say man, in his image and his likeness. And then something happened before we got to chapter 11, okay? Something happened. God's enemy, Satan, comes on the scene, and he goes walking up to Eve, and he says, oh, Eve, see this pretty fruit? Why don't you? And she's going, oh, this nice man over here gave me this pretty fruit. And he said, if I eat it, I'm not going to die. And she goes to Adam. Adam! I want to go, where the heck is he? Adam, come over here. Look at this pretty fruit. And what he should have said is, woman, no. God said we're not to eat this. Okay, but he didn't. And what happened? We have a mess. We had a mess, all right? All right, all because, listen, they didn't do what God said. Matter of fact, that is the first division that's on the planet. A division from God. And they didn't die immediately. Satan lied to them. Don't ever listen to him. He's just a liar. Okay? And they didn't die physically right away. It took about 900 years for Adam. But they died spiritually. So he lied. All right? And we have a mess. And that's why we have sickness. That's why we've got problems all through the earth. Because we had a division, right? Okay, so what about division in church? Okay. Well, what about division in church? Let me say. Sometimes division in church looks so pretty, like that pretty apple. And sometimes it's just so logical. And sometimes you just think it's all right. No! Division in church is division. And we want unity at all costs. At all costs, we have unity, not division. All right? Now, I'm reading. Here we go. Sorry about that. Got the slide here. Genesis 11. And the whole earth was one language. Everybody say one. And one speech. Say one. Man, that's pretty amazing. Here God's, by the time from verses chapter 1, 2, 3, and now we're at 11, God's populated the earth, and you got this whole bunch that's got a one thing going on. And they're about to make up their mind to do something. All right? And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Go, let's make brick and burn them together." And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build a city and tower whose top may reach the heaven." They weren't just talking a wall, guys. They're talking about let's all get together and build this tower that touches heaven, all right? And let us make us a name for ourselves, okay? Lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the earth. And then the Lord came down to the city. Okay, little trivia, Bible trivia, in the Old Testament, wherever it says the Lord came down, that was Jesus. Pastor D, are you sure? Yeah, go look up. There's like 10 references in the Old Testament. By the way, Jesus just wasn't born on Christmas. He was, he is, he'll always be. But he did a touchdown. One of these. Touchdown, real quick. Okay? Anybody does flying, do you know what a touchdown is? Okay, you circle Thomasville Airport, and we're going to do a touchdown. You go, just real quick. Okay. And I'd be screaming, what are you doing? Okay. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, listen to what Jesus says. Oh my. Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. Now nothing will restrain them from them which they have imagined. I like the Amplified. It says, behold, the people are one. They have one language. And this only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible. Nothing they can imagine. So what's he saying? We got this thing, one language. You know what's going on there? They got unity going on. They've got unity going on. And you know what the definition for unity is in the New Testament? Old Testament says a little different. New Testament means to be united, to be as one, to be a harmony. So you know what I see? I've never been to the symphony, but I've watched it on TV because I probably fall asleep. Okay? But you watch the symphony, they got like 50, 100 people. They've got different instruments. The maestro comes up. Where's Nevin? Nevin wants to be an orchestra leader. Okay? And he clicks, and they all play as one. That's unity. A symphony is unity. Got all these different instruments, all these different people, but they all come as a group, as one, and play as one. Okay, that's unity. Isn't that cool? Praise God. Now, so what does it mean to have one language and one voice? It means whatever they purpose, it's going to happen. So what does that mean to us, actually, as a New Testament believer? Whenever you have God's word and you're standing with God's word out of your mouth, nothing's impossible. You ever read that in your Bible? Yeah. All right. So listen, can I get a little step on your toes, ruffle your feathers? To be, everybody said, yeah, Pastor Dean, we love you. Okay. All right. That means you can't be in a church and always say things like, I just don't like what the pastor did. No, you can't be saying that. Or, you know, you finish service and you hang out in the hallway with a group and you go, oh my gosh, did you hear what she said? I can't. You can't be saying that. You can't be saying that as a church member that's in unity. All right? Now, well, if I were the pastor, I would. You aren't. And I want to tell you, you didn't pay the price. And you wouldn't want to, most of you. Okay? So we got to keep in unity. All right? So, and now listen, let me say, do you all agree with everything that happens here? No. Have you ever? No, not always. I haven't either. Sherry comes to me, Pastor Sherry goes, Mom, I want to put those basketball hoops down there. No. I was talking about being critical and okay. And I'm learning. Sometimes I'm critical and negative and critical. So I did that thing. No. Do you know what the, I got to find out if we can cover this on insurance. Oh my gosh, they'll just rip us apart if somebody breaks something and la la la. And how much is it going to cost? And la la la. We have basketball hoops down here. Was I in agreement or did I like it? No. But I changed. And I want to tell you, it has affected this townhouse neighborhood. We have kids, lost kids, foster kids, messed up kids, nice kids, fat kids, skinny kids, all kind of kids coming to youth group because of that. So do I like everything? No. Do you like everything? Not always. Okay. But listen, this is what God wants us to be as a church member, as a person who's planted in a local church, who's active. He wants you, really simple, one word, be a uniter. Be a uniter. Say that. Be a uniter. Now, it took me a little bit to get united over there, and I'm getting, you know, I was like, yeah, man, that was the best thing. I'll tell you what, that was such a good idea. Like, it was my idea. It wasn't my idea. Okay? Okay? Listen, when you don't agree with everything, there's lots of things that, you know, anyway, when you don't agree with everything, you don't just, I'm leaving church. I'm never coming back here. But really? I don't think so. You know what you're supposed to do? Adjust your heart. Adjust your heart. I love those basketball. I love all those kids that come in here now. I like, kick me. Why was I so dumb? Okay? I love it. All right? Now, if God's called you to be planted in a local church, which he has, I read that. That was all last week. And he's called you, and the church is preaching Jesus, preaching the cross, preaching the resurrection and the power of God and the grace of God, the faith of God, the love of God, and God's got you planted in a church, and you don't like something, don't leave. You're supposed to stay. It's a good church to be in, all right? Mark's waving hands at me. We disagree sometimes. I'm a pain in his toe. Okay? Hallelujah. But he's not leaving. Amen. All right. And let me tell you, the last thing you do when God has called you to be in a local church, to be planted, to be active, the last thing you do is you don't go telling everybody every little thing you don't like.
That's right.
Okay? Try doing that in a marriage. Okay? We got Ralphie and his wife Mabel. Okay? And they're just on the rumble rocky side right now. And Ralphie goes to work and he's just telling everybody about Mabel. God, that woman's all she does is PMS. And man, I leave her alone and she spends all this money. Okay. Okay. Probably shouldn't record those things. Okay. And there's cute little Susie, the coworker, who he starts dumping on. Oh, Ralphie, she should just honor you. I would do you so much better. Ah! You wonder why we have an affair going on, okay? You know what we had? His mouth, actually, his fault, division. Actually, that was a division. All right? That was a division. Woo! Okay? So, everybody still love Pastor D. All righty. So when you're in a local church, you need to be active, part, and sometimes you have to adjust. Adjust your mind and adjust your heart. Mark gave me this. We're playing around. See, look, I don't have the headset because it's falling apart. So I have this clip-on thing, and we were working on it, and it didn't sound right. So I could just see, oh, it doesn't sound right. Okay? So hit that. Okay. And he comes and he adjusts it. He adjusts it and it works good. You got to adjust your brain. You got to adjust your heart. All right. And you just keep it clipped on and life goes. It's good. All right. Now, oh, let's finish Genesis. Okay. Back to verse 6. Okay. So the Lord, let's do 5. Yeah, 6. So the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible. Verse 7. Come, let us go down there and confound, mix up, confuse their language, that they may not be hindered, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from that place upon the face of the whole earth, and they gave up building the city. Therefore, the name of it was called Babel, because the Lord had confounded or confused the language of all the earth. Okay. All right. Listen. You want to stop a move of God? You want to stop God moving in your life and in the church life and people's life? Get in division. All right? Get in division, all right? And matter of fact, get one language that's not united, and that's what you're going to have. So let me tell you, we got a vision here at YCF, all right? That's the old new vision. It's the same vision, okay? I'm going to tear that down in a couple weeks. So look at it now. It's faded, it's ugly. But the vision at YCF, it hasn't changed. I just tweaked it, okay? The vision hasn't changed. And our vision that we get united around, we walk in love through it, is that we go. I'm going to start the bottom one first. Go. Everybody say go. By the way, that's God's vision. Read the go ye. Okay, go get off your horse. That's God's vision. We just stole it from him. Go. Okay, well, where do you go? We go. The vision here is we go to people who are far away from God. That's really the big vision here. Sometimes we focus on gather, 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 gather. No, really, I should flip it up. But Sherry will be mad because she always printed these things up. Okay? Oh, but Pastor D, what are you talking about? People that are far from God. I like us for no more. No, Mabel. Go. The mission of God, the mission, our mission here is to go and talk to people, bring people who are far away from God, bring them into this place. Why would you want to bring them into this place? So God will get hold of their life. So God will just take the yucky condition of their life and bring them to a higher, better place. God's going to love them in this place. So what's our number one vision, mission? Go and bring, okay? And if you don't know how to tell, I did one the other day. Buck came driving up here with his brother, and if you ask permission and it works, you can use our dumpster, okay? But one day I came up here, and my dumpster was full, and I couldn't get my garbage in here, and I was just, okay? So Buck called me up, Pastor D, can we put some, I go, good. And he's got Mark in the car. Which brother was? Good thing I didn't say that, because I only heard about Mark. So they do the dump, and I go say hello to everybody. That's not a bad. Okay, and I go up and start talking to them, and I go, roll down your window. And I said, by the way, come to church. That's how you start bringing people. All the time, okay? All the time. Just invite them to church. So I thought I'd just do a little guilt and condemnation because it works good. By the way, Easter, you can at least come to Easter, right? And he's laughing at me, not Buck, his brother. I don't know what Buck is doing. He's on the other side of the car. All right? I did a little go. That's a little go. That's not even a big go. All right? And you invite those that are far from God because they're going to die and go to hell, and that's not the place they're intended to. Okay, so that's our number one vision. Number two is we gather. By the way, why do we gather? So that we grow up. Grow in our relationship, really. Grow in our relationship with God. So right now, you guys are growing because you came. And the word of God's going forth. It's going to cause you to grow. Now, if you come once in a blue moon, I can't do so much growing for you. All right? And there's life that happens. I didn't mean that to make you feel guilty. But if you don't come, so my next big thing is I want you to grow yourself. So that is why I forever sound like a broken record. Read your Bible. Get into the Word. Get into a small group. Get into a men's group. Get in a ladies' group where you'll start growing in your relationship. Okay? Vision number two. All right? So what's the first one? We go. And then we grow. All right? And the last one is gather. We gather together because it's just fun to see you guys. I haven't seen you in a long time. Who was I talking to? Matter of fact, I was late starting the service. I know, I was talking over there. I was talking over here. And I was like, I'm so glad to see you. And we should be glad because we're family and we live all over. So we gather to fellowship. That's great. But most of all, we gather to give Him glory, to worship Him. And listen, it's one day a week. He gives you all six. Plus the rest of the day, where we just gather to give Him glory. And when we gather united in love, oh my gosh, heaven's dancing and it come on down. So that's the vision here. It's not hard. And it's not a hard vision to follow. Matter of fact, every church actually has the same vision. Go on to these different churches and read their logo thing. They're all the same. It better be the same. Because that's what church is supposed to be. All right? It's supposed to be. Go, 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 go. Grow, grow, grow. And gather, gather, gather. Okay. Now, if God's called you here to this local church, that's between you and God, and you can tell me later. All right? And what you need to do is ask, God, what is my part in to be united in this body? What part do I play? Because if you don't, I'll ask you. I'll tell you things, forever. But really, it really should come from you and God first, all right? So first. And by the way, last week we talked about country club living. Country club living is you go pay money to the York Country Club and they serve you, okay? That's not church. That is not church. Church, we don't come, so everybody serves me. And I drop my kids off because I need a break. And the greeters love me, and the pastor takes care of me, and serves me, and serves me. That's country club, okay? Church is everybody, because you're a part, and you're valuable. Being active, serving others. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, Pastor D! And you know what I want? If you were to say, Pastor D, what do you want? Because now I told you what. Okay. What do I want? I want every time anybody walks in these doors, they can experience God. That's all I want. All right? How does that happen? One of these days, real soon, I would love to see two flag guys down by the mailbox, and every time a car drives up, they go, hey, how are you? All right? So they can start experiencing God down there. And then when they get to the front door, we got the greeters at the front door and in the foyer and in the sanctuary and in the stairwell. And we got, and you know what? Greeters is not just hi. Hi, so glad you're here. Listen, really a greeter, I just see them praying. They've prayed all morning. They're praying. And finally they get to, someone walks in and they're on the floor. They had an encounter with Jesus, all right? It's in the Bible, by the way. I'm not being flaky. It's in the Bible. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They encounter Jesus and bam, all right? That's what greeters, I see greeters. And I want everybody that comes through these doors to have an experience that this might be their day to change addresses, hell or heaven. This might be their day, and you have a part. They don't want to listen to me. Usually they're so uncomfortable to be here, okay? It starts with you guys. So listen, united. Isn't that cool? It's not such a bad word. United. United in a vision. United behind love. United because God said, go. Amen. All right. So listen, God gave everybody a job description. Be united. Isn't that easy? Be united. What's your job description? You love when you get those manuals from work and they write this whole job description. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can get it done. Okay, be united. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures because I'm going to squeeze these in. Turn to Ephesians. I preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Ephesians. Oh yeah, I'm switching here. Okay. Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. I'm reading out of the New Living. This is the one the youth groups uses downstairs. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you, lead a life worthy of your calling. By the way, you've all been called, right? For you have been called by God, always humble, gentle, being patient for one another, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. I have a few faults, and some of you do too. Okay? But when we gather together, what's the body that's united? They cover our faults. All right? That's love. And that's love. Covering people's faults. Right? Okay. And by the way, Jesus said they'll know they're Christians by... That means you're going to make allowances for my faults. For your faults. Okay? All right? By the way, there is nobody perfect in church. Yes, I have the greater one living in me. But as you've already heard, she is not perfect. So, make allowances for one another. Be united in love. Okay, second to last scripture. Turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Is this helping anybody? Oh, yes, Pastor D. Sign me up. Colossians 3. Hallelujah. I went on a fast this week, a couple of them. But one of them is I was fasting my apps on my phone. Except for those of you of a different generation, it's okay. The only one I was allowed to use, the Lord said, is your Bible app. I have had a blast finding all these Bible translations, so that's why we're doing one here. So I went on a fast, and the Lord says, fast your apps. I said, okay. And I said, yeah, so I'm just having a fun time. Okay, where am I? Colossians 3, right? Verses 12, 13, and 14. Since God chose you to be a holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself tender-hearted, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, making allowances for others' faults. Oh my gosh, that's me. And forgiving one another. Forgive one another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Okay. Did I get all those scriptures in there? Yep. Okay, 14. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Above all. So number one, clothe yourself in love, because it'll bind us together in unity. You don't go walking in love. There's no binding together in unity. Isn't that easy? That's easy, okay? And listen, you want to see a mature Christian, it is not by the gray hairs on their heads or the number of birthday candles they have. That scripture says somebody that just says, when you're a mature Christian, you are a lover, big lover. You cover, you make allowances. You don't take offense. You don't have, read 1 Corinthians 13, not easily offended, holds no aught. That's a mature Christian. All right? So, we're all mature here. Amen? Last one. I'm going to read this one. That's so much fun. Okay. The only thing, I was pressing buttons on my apps, and I kind of bleeped the screen, and just, it's really funny here. Okay. Closing scripture, I promise. 1 Peter 3. This is the Message Bible. All right? 1 Peter 3, starting in verse 8. Summing it up, be agreeable. Church, let's just be agreeable. You're not going to like everything, but we're just going to go, all right, Sherry, all right, whatever, go ahead. All right, just be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you. Okay? No exceptions, no reservations, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. You know, the funny thing about sarcasm is I don't get it. I got some people, they got this humor sarcasm, and I'm like, So this part wasn't me. Instead, bless, that's your job, to bless. You will be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil, hurtful, snub evil, cultivate good, run after peace with all your worth, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, listen. If we get united in this church body and we just get big on our love, what is God going to do here? I got a list of things I want to do that God's speaking in my heart. And it's about go and bring those that are far from God. But it's going to take all of us. And listen, each one of you, you're so vital. You carry a gift that I don't have. Can't even do this clap thing, okay? Okay, and I'm not just talking coming and being united in church, because some of you, I know you have ministries where you're going in outside places, but while you're inside, let's be united, all right? Let's watch what we say, because listen, if they could build a tower, if they had one language and one speech, watch what we could do in God, all right? Amen. Let's stand. Last week, we started a pledge. So last week, we pledged, I will be active and functioning member of church. Okay, that was last week. So let's say it with me. I will be an active functioning member of church. Okay, that's last week. This week, I'm going to change it. I will be a church member who causes unity and strives after unity. Amen. All right. Listen. God is just waiting to do big things. Amen. Are you ready? You ready to do big things? Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it just lifts us up, puts our light in our eyes to see where you want us to go. I thank you, Father, that it'll stay and it'll churn in our hearts this week. And you'll just show us how to do it better in Jesus' name. If there's anybody here, and today is your day, and you've never encountered and had a big meeting with Jesus, would you come up? I would love to pray for you. And if there's anybody...